Welcome to Cream of the Crop, where we talk with the best and brightest minds in modern agriculture. Welcome to the Cream of the Crop podcast. Today we have Jeremy Taylor from DNO Produce. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Really good.
Awesome. It's exciting to have you. I know we met on a webinar, so we've never met in person, but we've met virtually. This is round two, I guess. All right. Well, I just kind of wanted to get started by asking you to share with listeners just a little bit about yourself and how you got into the position vice president at DNO Produce. If you could just share kind of your story there.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been with DNO 6.5 years now. I started as what I call a catch-all term, which is a special projects coordinator. It was a fun way for DNO to tell me they didn't exactly know what I was going to do for a while. I worked in different departments, operations, sales, marketing, trying to just add a lot of value. But then after about a year, stepped into a traditional outside sales role, working with distributors and meal kits and retailers, and found some success there as our business grew. And then Alex DeNovo, who I think a lot of folks probably on this call know, stepped into a president COO role of our company and left the sales side, and I was fortunate enough to move into that position. And yeah, it's been fun. I've been I now oversee the sales and marketing department and have for about 2 or 3 years now.
That's exciting. So it sounds like you are a busy man at DNO, I'm sure. But for listeners that don't know, can you share just a little bit about what DNO Produce does?
Absolutely. DNO Produce, DNO is short for DeNovo, which is the family of Alex and Tony. We're a fresh cut processor and wholesale distributor out of Columbus, Ohio. We service a lot in the K-12 space, so we're known for our individually portioned items. We do everything from apples to zucchini for school snack packs, but service kind of the Great Lakes Midwest region with fresh cut products, wholesale distribution, forward distribution, trucking, and a little bit of everything. It's a fun little company.
That's exciting. So you said the Great Lakes area. Are you guys going to be at the Great Lakes Expo?
Oh, that's the plan.
Okay. Well, that's the plan for us too. So that'll be fun. But it just made me think when you said that, this is something that kind of caught my attention when you said the K-12 space. So that lunchroom space of selling your produce directly into school systems. I'm just curious, how do you guys navigate that? How do you get into that market? Have you been in it for a while? Like, what did that look like?
Oh, we do it delicately, for whatever that's worth. So most of our business is not actually in with the end user. We don't drop off directly at schools. Most of our business is actually with the larger distributor, them carrying our line of products. We have some relationships with end users on depending on size, and if we're able to kind of make an impact there. But it started somewhere right around almost 15 years ago, where we were slicing apples in-house for some local school districts. And then we're working in kind of the government contracting space. And it's kind of just evolved where we've really kind of made it our mission to ensure that kids basically across the country get to eat fresh fruits and vegetables each day. And it kind of continues to drive us. So it's it's traditionally a tough business that's very USDA regulated. Only certain commodities work. You've got to find items that are kid friendly. You know, they can't just eat anything, right? You know, they've got to have items that are ready to eat for them. You know, kids may not be able to peel their own oranges or peel their own clementines or, you know, eat their own apples. It's a lot of slicing, dicing, prepackaged, getting the half cup servings. It can be exhausting sometimes, but the best part about it is that we're pretty enthusiastic, in that mission to making sure that kids get a chance to eat fresh.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is like, it's definitely when you have to provide for this like school eating fresh kids, that kind of type of atmosphere, you're certainly having to be effective in like how you're not only positioning your product, but actually producing your product. Like you don't send eggplant to schools for kids to eat. Like that's not effective. That's not something that a student's going to want to eat with lunch. So it's really unique how you guys have kind of found this market of slicing and dicing, which makes total sense. When you guys are doing this, I'm sure that you have a goal of having fresh and fine products to all of your customers, right? So how do you guys ensure that? What are some processes that D&O takes to make sure that the product that's getting to the end user, even if you're not having that direct relationship with them, how do you ensure that it is the freshest product?
Yeah, absolutely. And back to your other point around eggplant, you'd be surprised the type of fresh fruits and vegetables we do for some kids. We do
really?
Dragon fruit. We've done pumpkin, purple sweet potatoes. And so there's a big, long line of interesting fresh fruits and vegetables we've gotten a chance to expose kids to. But quality really starts with vendors. It starts with where it's grown, how it gets to us. And then in-house, there's more PhDs here than there are salespeople, really ensuring the product gets where it needs to go. We do take the job of feeding children pretty seriously. Mm-hmm. So, product inspected when it comes in, it's expected during inventory. It's overlooked when during the processing side, it's metal detected. We're testing for things like bricks, quality, visual inspections, right? All trying to make sure the kids get it safely. And then product is also pre-packaged, right? So that as it travels throughout the rest of the supply chain, it's getting there where it needs to be. And then also having a really strong relationship with our distributors who may be the person who gets it finally to the customer. So mm-hmm. making sure that our products are, intact and things like that is just a constant, evolution and also a constant effort to get, products safely.
And aligning all of that with food safety and regulation and regulatory and all those types of things. I love that you said you guys have more PhDs than you do salespeople. I think that speaks highly of the quality of product.
it's interesting for sure. Yeah.
So it sounds like you have, I'm sure, a very intense supplier verification program where you're verifying that these suppliers are in fact doing what they say they're doing. And then the same side, they're the same way on the other side of it getting from you to retail, and then retail making sure that they're doing retail, wholesale, whoever, it's making sure that they're doing their part as well. The biggest thing that you said that caught my attention was the relationships. So certainly when I met you on a breakout session, I think it was for United Fresh, we threw around and we laughed at the fact that you said you were the king of LinkedIn, but I think that there's a lot of value to that. And I wanted to kind of unpack that thought and dissect what that meant. And when you said that this is all relationship-based, I think that the whole industry we work in is relationship-based. How can we better use the tools that we have as far as social media, LinkedIn, those types of things to better build these relationships that are going really far? Certainly, like if you didn't have these relationships, your product isn't getting moved. How can we do better at that?
Yeah, I would 100% agree that relationships are the entire business. For anyone listening, I was not self-declared. Some folks jumped out on it. I don't make sure I'm not like pumping my own narcissism up. But yeah, you know what? It's such a interesting business. And I think a lot of industries can lean in towards, hey, you know what? It's all about relationships, and which is all true. But you can just see as you get a chance, you get deeper into the supply chain and channels, is that everyone knows everybody. Everyone has gotten a chance to work different places. And the product itself, specifically the fresh produce, is so unique that it takes a long time to actually understand it, to like really have an idea what, like when people say 5x6 is that you just know it's a tomato, right? Mm-hmm. Normal people would just say tomato. Because most people who join into fresh produce almost treat it like a cult almost, right? You get a chance to get in it, people stay in it for a lifetime. So it's incredibly important to be transparent, honest, build those relationships early on, get a chance to be really genuine and authentic in those relationships. I think that's been the biggest success for our business and myself, building relationships online specific to LinkedIn, is that I think people want to create imagery of themselves, their businesses, that while positive, may not really feel the most genuine.
Yeah.
So I like my LinkedIn to look more like Twitter, where it's a little more, out of my brain, a little more personal, but also kind of sharing the romanticism I have with the business and romanticism mm-hmm. I have with the industry. I think if people right now are not focused on building relationships, especially after the couple of years you've had, that they'd be making a mistake. people generally want to do business with people they enjoy, like, and respect, have their back. And the only way to really share that is to do it over a long enough timeline. You can't do it on a sales call. You've got to start way, way earlier than, hey, my name's Jeremy from DNO. Can we do business together? They've got to have seen your brand or your words for a long time.
I like what you said about positive, but like we can have a positive message, but it not be genuine. I think a lot of times, certainly in like the sales and marketing side, we're so concerned about making sure that we're getting the final result of business, right? That's what our goal is going into it. And shifting our perspective to say, I'm going to be genuine and real, and business comes as a second thought because of that, is certainly like a perspective shift where sometimes even I catch myself like, okay, refocus. It's not about just getting business. Like, you're building relationships that in turn will get you business, but the relationship is the important part. So I really like how you said that. Share with me some ideas that you may have that would help maybe listeners that were, when you just said that you can't build these relationships just on a sales call, what are some things you do preliminary to that to help build relationships where doing business becomes a lot of a smoother transaction?
Yeah, absolutely. I have people focus on activities that are high leverage. So a lot of that is content creation. I think people miss out on the relationship building. They think it's like, hey, what's going on? I like to build a relationship. And then it goes blank. You have to give.
Yeah.
Way, way before you get a chance to receive. So it's all about like giving value or giving things that like upfront. So whether that be, you know, content creation, maybe you're writing more blog posts, maybe you're sharing your day, maybe you're talking about what you're doing. People generally want to kind of see more of that genuine thing. So, I try to have a cadence, with how I spend my time, as well as like, I have a little, daily task where I call it the 4-4-4. Every day I write 4 emails on how I can help somebody. I find 4 random emails or 4 people I haven't talked to in a while, 4 text messages a day. Hey, what can I help you with? What's going on? Right. And then ultimately 4, just paragraphs, content creation, something to kind of prepare myself for like when maybe I get in a lull, I get really busy. That way I still have something that's coming out and people are getting a chance to hear from me. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it's like in pre-preparation. You're not always going to be, enough time to work on that type of stuff. So it's all about preparation. It's all about spending the time knowing that, there's an audience, there are people out there, you build these relationships. It's funny. I just got a call this morning from somebody that like, I've been kind of just having fun talking, right? Sharing some funny articles or like getting to know each other for like 2.5 years. And he just called me today. Hey man, look, I'm in a pickle. Can you help me out with something? Oh, wow. And we'll get a chance to do business together. And a 30-month opportunity, but I never pressed it. It was more about when the time is right.
Yeah.
We're like you guys too. We're in the business of accounts or relationships coming in and out, but long term, zoom out is a good practice. It's just like, hey, look, it doesn't have to happen immediately. It's mm-hmm. a long, long time for you to be adding value and giving for customers to see you as a partner.
For sure. What you just said at the end, zoom out, I think is so important. And it goes back to kind of what we were talking about a second ago, was just taking a step back and realizing that sometimes it's not about this hard sales drive of just sell, 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 sell. There is more to it. And it does take longer, but it definitely pays off 100-fold on the other side, right? When you do this, like your opportunity with that person that called you this morning, if you would have just called and said, hey, let's do business together, it would have probably been one of those, oh my gosh, salespeople, and hang up, right? that typical cliche where it feels like you're being sold something instead of that relationship being built. I want to go back to the 4-4-4 method that you said. And I think that I know I wrote it down, but I think I'm going to write it on my desk and implement that in my own life, because it's so important to do those things. And when you're busy, like what's the first thing that goes? For me, it's like my LinkedIn or social media presence is like the first thing that I forget about when I'm busy and I'm drowning in work, because what I feel like in the moment is it's the least productive way to spend my time. But in reality, like it's not. That presence, that brand awareness, that brand building that you're doing is so important. So having that 4-4-4 where it's like, okay, and you know what, if there is an emergency and I miss one day, that's okay. But having that preparation of the content creation, Certainly something that can help. How do you create content? Like, where does that come from? Is it just things like you think about or you see in the industry? Where do you find like your source of creation?
Yeah, I would love to say that, hey, like, you know what, there's like a method to the madness, but there's just not.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I think that, like, you know, they just come in, you know, the challenges that I face or our company faces, and we got plenty, like we got a lot of problems, right? Like, but so does everybody, right? I'm a big, big believer that like produce companies are like a big ball of chaos that sometimes make money, right? It's like a very like honest way to think about it. So we have a ton of issues. And so, you know, I've always just thought like, there's no way that I'm the only one.
Yeah.
No way. Like, it can't be, right? Or that like, hey, we gotta really look at it if we are. But so a lot of it's like, you know, I'm facing these issues every day and my team is facing it. We've got a lot of young people in our organization that I just go, you know what, like, let's get a chance to talk about it. And then, you know, I try to digest what's going on. And, you know, like I said, as much as I try to give, guess what? I try to take too, right? There's a lot of great people online, specifically in fresh produce, that are doing excellent work, like you guys, that, you know, that's how you get better. That's how you help people. If you're zooming out truly. So there's no really great way outside of that. If you really like it and you really like your job and you like the industry, hopefully you have like your boss or like your company, then just make it a priority, and you'd be surprised, I think, where some of that inspiration comes from.
Well, I think you kind of answered the question, even though you felt like you didn't have a clear answer to it. You said earlier about transparency and how important that was. And by being transparent, you are sharing those problems that your business is facing. But not only are you sharing the problem, it's allowing others to not only feel like, okay, I'm not the only one, but it's allowing a collaborative solution, right? Like, oh, everybody's having this issue. Let's all put our heads together and figure out how we can fix it. Even if it is industry-wide, what can all of us do better to put like our ring in the fire and say, hey, I want to be a part of this. At our company, our owner always taught us that you don't see a problem as a problem. You see it as an opportunity. And it's something that I think you just kind of said the same thing, is like, we all have problems. It's produce. There's nothing perfect about anything in this industry. Just the product alone, but then the transportation, and the list goes on and on. But finding that as an opportunity of what can we do to better this, and what is the light at the end of the tunnel, right? Like, what is good? What's the hidden gem and what we're doing? This is kind of my wrap up thing that I like to ask people, because it's just interesting. So I will say that I selfishly ask it, but what is your favorite part of your job today?
I guess I really, really like the people I work with, which I think like most people hate their coworkers. But, if you ever get a chance to, you know, come to DNO or, you know, work with different people, the one thing that's really cool is that like everyone here is like evangelical of what we're doing and like a really big fan. And so like, it's impossible not to get pumped up every day. Like, there's just no way around it. So like, and they're fun and they're exciting. So there's one thing I love about my job, that it's absolutely the people I get to do it with.
That's such an important part too, that like wakes you up in the morning, is like, okay, everyone has this similar camaraderie. It makes that, like, you know, 11 p.m. phone call about produce not as miserable when it's someone that you love.
And if you're like, if your day is not going well, like, they don't allow it to keep going that way. Like, they will force their good day on you.
Wow, that's so fun. I love that you have that atmosphere. We definitely have a very like lively atmosphere in our office as well. And it is so enjoyable when it's like, I have one coworker that I work with, and anytime I start to get negative, she's like, nope, not happening. Like, get it together. And I'm like, okay, see, I need people like you in my life. it's certainly valuable. Well, I really appreciate it. I think that there's certainly a lot of nuggets of wisdom that we can take just from what we've talked about in this quick podcast today, but it was so nice to meet you. It was so good to talk to you. And I certainly think that I may need to swing by DNO Produce if I'm ever up that way.
Yeah, do it. We'll have some fun.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. For more episodes, go to highlandhasit.com.